The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 245th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I am the host of this lovely show, and joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how is you doing?
I am over the moon. Today has been a glorious day. We'll talk about all the reasons I'm over the moon, but I'm going to talk about the first two things. So I got up this morning, and ridiculously early because I had stuff to do. And I bought the Willow 11x14 Rob Schomburger painting signed by Willow and Rob Schomburger on AEW. It was 1 of 75, and I made sure I got one because, you know, I love my girl Willow. Then, two, also pretty much at the exact same on sale time, I'm going to a con called Space Con in Texas, and they added this week One of the few people that would make me travel, Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Hey!
Yes, so if you are listening to the show, you may know her. She is the lead female in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. She was in Sky High. She was the bad guy in Sky High. She's married to Mr. Ewan McGregor. And, yeah, so I am really excited about her. It's like, yeah, super, you know, I'm gonna say super hot because she is, but that's not really I just like her from like all the things she was in Ahsoka, and that's what figure I'm gonna get signed. So I got my auto and photo for meeting her in October, so I'm really excited about that. Then there was a huge announcement today. We'll get on to that, and I'm just over the moon. I even warned Austin when we get to this that he's gonna have to calm me down, because mm-hmm. the whole show will be just talking about this announcement if it's up to me. So, yes. So I am doing really good. I am working tonight's my last shift before I head to London on Sunday. And I have this.
Woo!
Here it is. I posted it on Twitter, my epic AEW week. It starts Saturday night, where I will be at Collision. And I think they'll be doing a little ROH before the show. I am first row for the big match of that night. Then Sunday I head to London. I got a whole bunch of London stuff planned, but Wednesday I will be in Cardiff. We're gonna go tour Castle, and then we're gonna go watch Dynamite and Collision. And so the hotel is like really close. So I even warned Crystal. I'm like, they're doing a Dynamite and Collision taping. I don't know how long this is gonna last. But we're really close to the hotel if you just want to, at some point, you're just like, yep, I am tired of being here. I'm out. I was like, because it's going to make for a long night because, again, mm-hmm. Dynamite's two-hour shows. So I imagine we're going to get some wrestling, okay?
Just a little bit.
So then we got All In London, yes. Wembley Stadium.
Big
day. Now, I wrestling show 4 or 5 hours. Hey, my wife's a fucking soldier. She can handle it. Now, one thing I didn't know, we are going to see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child on Friday at the Tower of Hay. So it's two parts done back to back. 2 hours and 45 minutes for the first part. 2 hours and 35 minutes for the second part. My wife doesn't even like movies that last longer than an hour and a half. So
this is an interesting decision on her part.
I didn't know it was. I didn't even know it was that long. I just looked yesterday. I was like, oh, shit, this is a five-hour play.
Yep.
So for me, who is a massive Harry Potter fan, Potterhead all the way, Hufflepuff, let's fucking go.
Yes.
It's not going to be a problem for me. You know, it's not going to be a problem for me. But for her, yeah, I told her, I was like, man, if you just, you know, need to leave, go to the bathroom, hang outside for a while, and then come back in. Because it's going to be a lot. But I'm like, it's a compelling story. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I started looking. I was like, well, you know, it's London, you know, really proper people. And I was like, man, I wonder if there's a dress code. Because if everyone knows, I pretty much dress like I'm homeless. So so I was like, is there a dress code? And it was like people were there with robes, wizarding robes, and they come in full cosplay to watch the show. So I'm like, oh, okay, I can wear what I want to. But yeah, I was worried for a second because, like I said, I dress like I need a dollar. You know, that's how I dress. So it is what it is. I'm looking forward to this week for, you know, because I mean, this year is me and my wife's 5-year anniversary. We didn't do a lot for that day, and actually we went to a really nice steak restaurant, and it was the most mid experience ever. But this is our real honeymoon. This is our real 5-year anniversary celebration, going to a different country. She let me go without her last year, so I'm like, I owe her, and we're gonna do a fucking big, and we're gonna have a good time. I don't know if we're gonna do 100 things or we're gonna do 20. Everything we do is going to matter, so I'm looking forward to that.
It's going to be huge, dude. I'm so excited for y'all. And we're going to get into everything, of course, including that huge announcement Floyd was alluding to, as well as this week's past Dynamite as we get closer and closer to All In London. Before we get into everything, though, we want to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on Google, on YouTube Music or Apple Podcasts. If you listen to us on Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us on, please give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. Turn automatic downloads on. And if you're so inclined, you can also follow us at ATElitePod on Twitter. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. So check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, Sumowicz. And Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And the big, big, big news of the week came today, the day that we are recording this. This is coming out on Friday, so the news was announced literally today when we're recording this. AEW is doing their very first American stadium show. They are doing AEW All In Texas in Arlington at Globe Life Field, home of the Texas Rangers. All In Texas, taking place Saturday, July 12th. They had a whole press conference taking place. They had the there. They had the TBS champion, Mercedes Moné. And shout out to our girl. Shout out to everyone's favorite, the Ring of Honor Women's Champion. It was so good to see her. It was so good to see. It was so good to see our girl. So good to see
Athena. Is
Athena?
They're coming home. This is a home game. I'm like, if Athena's not main eventing against Thunder Rosa, what are we even doing?
So yeah, they officially announced first ever pay per view in Texas, AEW's American Stadium debut, huge announcement for this taking place. So it will be you have All In London, which is taking place on the 25th of August, and now All In Texas is going to be taking place in July. So they've moved All In actually back further in the schedule for the pay-per-view schedule, which I personally love. And having a pay-per-view like this in the middle of summer, I think, is a great decision for just scheduling wise, I feel like. But I mean, again, it's massive, you know. The fact that we haven't gotten a stadium show in the U.S. is kind of insane, considering how successful AEW's been in their 5+ years of existence, you know? So the fact that we're finally getting this next year is awesome, and will open the door, I'm sure, for more opportunities for AEW to do more stadium shows and more bigger events. They did announce too that All In will return to London the year year following. So it'll be All In London this year, All In Texas, and then back to All In London. And then we'll see what they decide to do with other shows at other locations. But AEW's finally doing a pay-per-view in Texas, and man, they're going all out for it. And like Floyd has just said, this man is jazzed to the gills about this show and this announcement.
Dude! I mean, I'm going to try to maintain my calm, John Spartan, because this is a dream. This is a dream. This is a dream that I didn't even think. Like, dude, my whole level was maybe we can get a Full Gear or a Revolution in an American Airlines arena. That's what I was hoping for in pay-per-views. That's what I wanted. We get a stadium show in a baseball stadium. Literally the only baseball stadium I have been into and watched a baseball game. I went to the Texas Rangers game with Dave the year before last. Yeah, I guess it was 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And we enjoyed the game. And guess what this amazing, beautiful stadium has on top of it? It's a roof.
It's a roof.
It's enclosed. Air conditioning.
We love it.
All the comforts of outside without actually being, you know, outside. Dude, I just started messaging literally everyone I know. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm going to be sending codes, sending tickets. The largest thing that's been here was a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert with 46,000 people. So I definitely want to beat that number. And the fact is, wrestling has never been in this arena. It's not a WWE venue. So that's pretty cool that it's just, this is a kind of AEW exclusive thing. It's going to happen in July, which is hot, but it's going to be happening with the roof on. So,
exactly.
which is amazing there, and it's going to be a big deal. 40,000-50,000 people. I am so excited about this. Big thing is, there's been two different ways of it. There's been the utter excitement. That is what 95% of the world is feeling, is other excitement. And then there's this 5% of the world is, it's because they only sold 40,000, 50,000 tickets to London this year. That's why they're leaving. Well, okay. Okay. Yes, you are accurate. They only sold the biggest gate of the year. They only may have like an $8 million gate. Only. Like, if you look at largest attendance records, like, of modern history that are not WWE, all those numbers belong to the same company. All of them. If any other company, not WWE or AEW, puts 40,000 people in an arena, they would be screaming it from the rooftops because they're so fucking excited.
Let's not forget, too, this is the same group of people that were told you couldn't sell out a 10,000-person arena. Yeah,
yes, and 40,000. So
40,000.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to relitigate this because I actually been arguing with a friend all day. But I'm just going to say 40,000 people in an arena is not a flop. It is not a disappointment. Would you like more? Of course. Everybody wants to sell out every show, but you don't. Tickets are generally more expensive than they were last year. Mm-hmm. You know, life is about inflation right now, and that's the hot word. Life right. happens. So it's just like, whatever. So
let me get this straight, too. I mean, the listed attendance for SummerSlam was 57,791. Cleveland Browns Stadium can hold 10,000 more people in that arena. I saw there were empty areas and blocked off sections. Was that a flop?
Obviously. It was a super flop. You know?
Okay. I'm just making sure that there's a little bit of consistency here.
There's no bias. Dude, you put 40,000 people in an event, you had a good show.
Yeah.
Okay? That is that
simple.
You sold
some good tickets.
You sold some good tickets. I'm like, WWE, AEW, concert, I don't care. I'm like, yes, of course you want to sell every ticket to every show you want. But the reality is that doesn't happen a lot. AEW was selling tickets an amazing clip when they first started because they were new. And so, you know, you go away for a year. Maybe it's hot again when you go back to London. Maybe you get to 60, 70,000. I don't know if 80,000 happens again unless like a really, really nuclear hot storyline happens. So maybe, you know, we'll see. I don't, you know, it's just funny. It's just, can I have 5 minutes? Can I have a day to be happy? Can I have a day to be excited?
As one of
AEW's biggest fans, I will not say I'm the biggest fan, but I'm in that top 10% of AEW's biggest fans. Mm-hmm. I mean, this podcast as a general, pretty high up there, longest running AEW podcast in existence, right? That being said, you know, we want to enjoy this. They're about to be 3 hours away from my house. That morning, if I wanted to, that morning, I'm going there for a week. I already booked my hotel. That morning, I could get up, sleep in my bed that night, get up, kiss my dog, drive to Dallas, watch a show, and then drive back, and it not be a particularly long day. I could do that. I win. I'm happy. I don't give a fuck about your little, I could get your theories and why they did it. I'm 3 hours away, right? Now, if you live in Arlington or Dallas or area or whatever, you're even better. But then I get online, and it's like people are hitting me directly up. How much do tickets cost? I'm coming. I haven't heard a buzz like this since the original, like the All In London last year, the year before last when it was announced. I haven't heard a buzz. Like, I got people from Alaska saying they're coming, people from London saying they're coming, New York, Arizona, California, like everybody saying they're coming, right? And let's just say 60% of those people come, it's probably still going to sell out. So I'm going to tell you all, sign up for the pre-sale codes on All Elite Wrestling. Go to the website, sign up for it, because the good seats are going to be gone. So make sure you get there, because like generally when my buzzometer goes off, it's a good thing. I've not very many times have I said, oh, this show is going to be hot, and then I miss, because I have a variety of different friends from different incomes, different family situations, so I can generally get a good idea when something's going to be hot. This motherfucker's going to sell out. Now I did think of something cool. I actually read the press release, something I don't do. I don't like to read, the Arlington mayor. You know what Arlington mayor's name is?
What is the Arlington mayor's name?
Jim Ross.
I did see that.
It was meant to be. I thought it was a typo. I went and Googled it because it said Arlington Mayor Jim Ross. Fans from around the world converge on our beautiful city to be a part of AEW All In. So let me tell y'all about Arlington for anyone that's listening not familiar with Arlington. It is like the event city, the party city, family city. Six Flags, Hurricane Harbor, all sorts of event shows like that. They have gaming centers, like Main Event, like, and it's all in this tight little area. I told JR, and again, this is just an idea, of doing an All Things Elite meetup at this bar that I like right outside the arena. It's like within walking distance of the baseball stadium. So I think we're going to do something like that next year. I'm not saying guaranteeing it's going to happen because life happens. You know, I just want to make sure
right
6 months out, I'm in the position to say, hey, we're going to do this. But I have a lot of ideas for Texas, man. It's going to be amazing. And this is what I wanted to see. I wanted to add this specifically from the notes. Hold on a second. In addition to AEW All In Texas, a series of events in Arlington are being planned leading up to the event. Additional details will be announced in the future. So what that means is more than likely you're going to get Dynamite, probably a Dynamite and Collision taping on Wednesday. Or maybe they do Dynamite taping and then a Collision taping on Thursday. Your Death Before Dishonor is always in July. So you're probably going to get Death Before Dishonor Friday. Then you're going to get the show Saturday. And they may even do something fucking Sunday. Who hell knows? It's going to be a week of AEW. Now, I'm putting out my own personal request. StarCast, WrestleCon, one of y'all need to step the fuck up. I don't care which one.
Yep.
One of y'all, this is There are events, rooms, and centers all in Arlington. Let's go. Let's get someone there at All In. Let's get some meet and greets. Let's get some parties. Let's get an event. GCW, you better have a show. I want everybody here. I want this to be the WrestleMania week for AEW.
Mm-hmm.
But that's as a fan, what I want. But understand, when I say what I want, this is not me just saying, oh, I hope this is there, but I'm not going to go. I spend some money. So if you want to, if you come, you're going to see me at your shit. Even GCW, mm-hmm. which I think been to one GCW show ever. I'll be there. Let's go. Let's make this a big thing. I'm hoping all the social suplexes there. I'm calling all of you out. Calling you all out. I'm calling Keith Strong Style, Young Boy, Jeremy Donovan. I'm calling you out. Rich Latta, James Boyle, calling you out. We got to be having our matching cowboy hats and boots. Have my bolo tie on. But let's go.
There you go.
Let's go. I'm going to stop now. Because I could do this for an hour and a half without breathing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stop and let Austin Sag talk about his excitement for the show.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's huge. Like I said, it's such a huge deal. And I'm so hyped about this happening because, again, it's just we're finally getting a U.S. stadium show. You know, it's huge. And it's just nice. I love that London's been able to get All In, you know. Wembley Stadium last year was massive. Them getting in it again this year, I think, is even bigger, especially with Will Ospreay going after the American Championship, formerly International Championship, getting MJF. You know, it's massive, and he's going to be just lauded as the biggest star of UK wrestling, and I love that for him. That being said, All In was a U.S. thing first, and I've missed it. That's why I've enjoyed, because I mean, I'm going to All Out in Chicago again this year, so like, you know, I've missed it for sure. With it being in Texas, it's a little bit tougher for me. You know, I'm a northern boy, so getting down there is maybe a tough thing. But it's in the summer, which is a slow time for me, so we could make this
Detroit
happen.
Detroit to Dallas direct flights. I looked it up.
Oh, it's a thing. It's a thing. For
direct
sure.
flights. I looked it up. I messaged Sydney already. I'm like, so I'm going to see you here, right? I have hit everybody I know up. If I have not messaged you about it, J-Roll, it's coming. I know you sleep at the same. You sleep at night because you wake like stupid fucking early in the morning. So you know the yes. message is coming. I hit up Jackie. I say, man, Elite POV, you got to be in the motherfucking building. My people from that show, they got to be in the building. I don't know. Beer and weed on me. Let's go.
There you go. There you go. No, so I think we're definitely going to see if we can make this happen because I think it would be awesome just to be back at All In. You know, we were at the first one. We'd love to be at the first stadium show in AEW's history in the U.S. stadium show. In AEW's history, I think would be awesome. Yeah. And then maybe I'll actually get the chance to stop by Austin, Texas, you know?
Yes.
been meaning to get there in a minute for obvious reasons, you know? Maybe I'll see an Austin FC game and see them get destroyed. MLS team is not good.
It's nice that you have your own football club. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they're not doing good. No, my club... Honestly, I might have to give up on my Arsenal ways because Ed Sheeran just bought a minority stake in Ipswich Town FC, which is his hometown club, and Ipswich just made it to the Premier League. And, dog, I might have to switch. And we just had Fulham FC's women's team. They're going to have AEW as their main sponsor for their women's jerseys.
So I
thought it was their men's one for a second, and I thought I was going to flip out.
I got to ask my UK people, is it okay for me to root for one group's men's team and then another group's women's team?
I'm for the women's teams, like you're going to be all right, like cuz it's a different thing. But if you were going to root for Fulham and Tottenham at the same time, no, like for the men's teams, no, that's not an okay thing. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I can't do that. If I was going to root for anyone other than my Hotspurs, it would be think it's Liverpool, Liverpool, because
what the fuck is wrong with you?
LeBron owns Liverpool. It's part ownership in Liverpool, but no. Tottenham, dude, it was literally, I just fell in love with the stadium, dude.
It's a great stadium, I know.
Yeah, that thing was like most beautiful, and then I found out they haven't won a lot. And that's the
big
thing.
You gotta go to the Emirates, dude.
I did.
Yeah, it's better.
I went Arsenal, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I went to that stadium too. Yeah, and it's not. Not a better at all. But it was pretty. But it was just, well, I mean, I think the Tottenham Stadium is what, 10 years old. Like, it's a $1 billion stadium, just like in the middle of the hood in London. it's like you're at the stadium and you don't want to cross the street.
Bro, I mean, if you think that's bad, we're going to get back on topic. But if you think that's bad, dude, I mean, like, there is one club that literally the away stands, you walk up and you can see, like, people's backyards.
Yeah, so, like, it was, like, in the middle of the hood in London. I love it. I love it. People are all about their team. So I love fandom in general. I love tribalism. I know those are bad words, but I love fandom. I love tribalism. I love the shit talking. I never am going to actually fight or kill someone over it. So I definitely have some levity with mine, but I love it. I love that whole like hooligan type thing. I want to keep it safe. I just want it to be jawing and stuff. I don't want it to be actually thrown, but I've always loved that. That's why I love college football more than the NFL, even though I love the NFL, but I love college more. It just feels like, you know, people that go to the school and all that stuff, it's a part of who they are. But yeah, so I'm just excited for everything going on in AEW. Like, it might not be as hot as it was, but I feel like,
dude, last couple months, we were in such a painful slog, and now it feels like we're finally getting back to the AEW that we love.
The water's not boiling, but it's at a steady simmer right now.
Yes.
And it could start boiling at any time. They are being AEW is back to being AEW. I'm loving the shows. We get this huge announcement. I imagine, I don't know, because he said we're ready for the biggest announcement in AEW history, and then they dropped this, one of the biggest announcements. Was that it, or is the TV deal the biggest announcement? I don't know, because this is a huge fucking announcement. I'm just like, dude, for anybody, like, the buzz is crazy.
It is. It's huge. So shout out to that announcement. That's massive. But we're going to get into this week in AEW television. We're going to quickly, got to say, we got a good, a pretty damn solid episode of Collision. I want to mention a couple things. First of all, the tag team of Darby Allin and Hologram is something I was not expecting. This was just a random thing we got. The two main things we got to talk about, first of all, Texas Bull Rope match, Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo. This feud that has had a few months of going on. They've been doing some nice work with them, and Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo have really gone at each other. It's been a good feud for Thunder Rosa as she's came back from her injury, and it all blew up with this Texas Bull Rope match, and they beat the shit out of each other. Like you didn't. If you missed this, you should go back and watch it, because it was the best part of the show, I feel like, and yeah, I mean, crazy great work by these girls. Blood spewing from Thunder Rosa's head, and she still gets the victory. Great work. Anytime those girls put on an amazing match, show them the love that they deserve. The women's division has been killing it recently with AEW. This is no exception. Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo, spectacular stuff from them. I thought they did a really good job with that match.
Dude, there was no loser in that match, in my opinion. There was just no loser. They both came out. They showed out their ass, and they bled all over the place, which was amazing. Dude, they did it. They did a big thing. They did the 1-2-3 bull rope match. Well, I thought it was going to be like the four corners thing. I don't care. Nothing stopped that match from being so good. Thunder Rosa gets the win. Deonna Purrazzo still has the lead in the series. So, you know what? We might get more matches between them. I don't know how this is going to work, but it very well might happen. I am so excited for them. I just thought they did a really good job. That's one of the top five matches in AEW's women's history. So, yeah, they fucking killed it.
Yeah.
Did you watch that? Did you see? I have to throw this out there. I forgot to mention it when we talked about the few things we're going to hit. The Outrunners free tape.
Yes. No. And I was going to mention them, too, because they faced off against FTR. Y'all, the Outrunners are making some noise right now. Like, they're top sell. They got two shirts that are in top selling in the weekly shop.com right now. Their vignettes are... Oh, the cheese is just spectacular from them. Turbo Floyd and Truth Magna have been making some noise. We have a legitimate named tag team with vignettes and shirts that are selling. And, like, dude, they're making noise right now.
Dude, I loved it. You know, and it was funny because you could just tell how much fun FTR was having working with them.
Yes.
Which is cool. They were doing the flex. And I made the joke. Of course, this is a joke. When Cash flexed like 10 women got pregnant, it's okay. 10 months from now, you're gonna hear about all these women, all these kids named Daniel and Danny and all this stuff coming out. There's no understand. I know when it happened. Yeah, when it happened. So, cool moment happened from the show. I couldn't go to the show. Wife had COVID. I just thought overabundance of caution. I stayed home. I had never gotten symptoms, gotten sick or anything. Honestly, most people told me I could have went, but I was like, overabundance of caution. I'm just going to go ahead and stay home. So my friend Jackie Guerrero went in my stead. Cash found her and gave her a high five. So most people were like, oh man, that sucks that you missed the show. You missed the high five. You missed the hug. I was like, no. That justified me not going. Because the reason I didn't want to go is because the chance that I was going to get FTR sick or
FTR
or Sam.
Dax just came back from his injury.
Yes. Like, yes. FTR, Dave, Sam, any of the people there, I thought I could get them sick. So I was like, that's why I stayed home, is to not get them sick. And the fact that he found her kind of just said, hey, Floyd, you made a good decision not going.
Yeah, so dodging a bullet there.
Yeah, I'll be there. You know, I'll be there this week, and it'll be fun. But it was just like, dude, I just want, like I said, it was an overabundance of caution. I'll tell anybody. It was like there was, you know, even the doctor that I talked to said, hey, Floyd, you can go, and I was just like, nah, buddy, I'm just gonna go ahead and rock it. Stay here, be safe. You know, not get anybody dead or sick. Which is, it was just about getting people sick, spreading COVID, even the people in the arena. You know, like, I could very much be a carrier. So I thought that was a really cool moment. And I was really happy Jackie got to take her dad. It was a good show. You know, I'm all about everybody experiencing AEW as possible.
Absolutely. So, and again, boy, those Outrunners are making some noise. So be on the lookout for them because they could be doing a lot of cool things, I think.
Dude, they are pro wrestling. They are pro wrestling I grew up with because there were always the serious champions, the FTR, like the Brainbusters, the Rock and Roll Express, the Mennonite Express, those type of teams. But on like Saturday night and Sunday morning, they'd have shows and they'd have like the Highway Patrol, they'd have different type of silly tag team, the monkeys, I don't know how to say it, I don't remember, but they'd have these silly tag teams that were just very entertaining. Outrunners could definitely fit in that mold and just be fun to watch, and they understand their gimmick. That, I will tell, that's the one thing I am all about in wrestling. Just, you know, when people just get their gimmick, they very much understand their gimmick and they don't try to be anything more than what they are. And it's fun and people love it. And it seems pretty authentic as to what they how they want professional wrestling to be presented.
Yeah, no, you can see just how genuine it is. So shout out to them. And then finally, the number one contenders match for the AEW World Trios Championship with the House of Black versus the Bang Bang Gang. Christian Cage was special guest referee, and this man said he was going to call it right down the middle. He called it right down the middle of... He called it right down the middle of Buddy Matthews' chest getting speared. Neither team could make the 10 count, so... Unfortunately, we have no number one contenders. We have no number one contenders for the Trios titles. Christian Cage and the patriarchy still, you know, they're left without a dance partner. And, you know, Christian, he was just doing his job. He was just doing his job.
And I got to tell you, even with that, he still called it down the middle because he beat them both mercilessly. Beat them both. He did not show favoritism. He beat them both down. So they were both laying. They were both laid out at the end of the night, which is right down the middle.
Basically, dude.
That was so funny.
Yes, so good.
It was so good because it was executed in a way that I'd never seen it before. He called it the threes. He did the breakups. He did everything he was supposed to until that last moment. And they got to nine, and Buddy Matthews got up, and somehow he fell back down. Thanks to Christian.
Just like a sack of bricks.
Yes.
So it was a really solid episode of Collision, honestly. I just wanted to mainly go over those parts real quick. But we'll move over now to AEW Dynamite from Norfolk, Virginia. Virginia is for lovers, unless you're Hangman Page, in which case Virginia is for sociopaths. Opened up with the TBS Championship match between Mercedes Moné and Hikaru Shida. This was solid, I think. I think this was a really solid opening. Shida was able to do some nice stuff in this match. The distraction of Camille was a nice touch, allowing Mercedes to be able to get some offense in there. There's a great backstabber and that was used on Shida. And as it was going on, though, Shida gets her kendo stick and nails Camille with the kendo stick. She looks like she's going to hit her again, but Mercedes takes it away. And while the referee is distracted with the kendo stick, Camille knocks Shida down with a big boot. And then Mercedes hits the Moné Maker, gets the pinfall win. She retains the TBS title. But then Britt Baker's music hits, and they're looking for where she's coming from, up the ramp or whatnot. And then Camille sees someone who's masked in the front row with a hoodie, and she's like, that's her. She jumps her and then jumps that person in the hoodie, beating him up. I don't think we have who that person was who got jumped. But that person just got murdered by Camille.
So as far as we're concerned, she just beat up a fan. That's crazy.
I was going to say, yeah, there should be a suspension or a fine at least for that. And then Britt Baker comes in from the crowd, and she goes for the lockjaw. Camille breaks it up and then pulls her out of the ring, and then that's left with Britt Baker holding up the TBS championship as Mercedes angrily looks on. A nice, solid opener, I felt like. Didn't do anything like incredible, I felt like, for the most part, but I think it was damn solid. I can't really complain too much about what we got from that. And again, this feud is still very excited. Like I talk up and down about how good the women's division's been in recently, and this is no exception. I think this is really good. I loved Taz singing. Of course, getting more of Taz singing is always incredible. But yeah, I also hope too that we get another match between Mercedes and Shida too, because I think they can do some more good stuff too.
I feel like we need an MJF versus Taz singing competition, because MJF claims to be the best singer in wrestling, and I don't know. Taz got bars. I mean, Taz's singing has memes. Okay, Taz's singing has gifts. You know. I don't know if MJF's bringing it like that.
It's going to be tough, dude. It's going to be tough to beat that, I feel like.
Yes.
But we'll move on, though, to Jay Lethal, who got jumped backstage as they brawled towards the ring and the match began between Hangman and Jay Lethal, which I thought was awesome that we did something like that, because we haven't seen AEW do a match like this, and it fits perfectly with Hangman after he jumped them last week. After the show was off the air, it was exclusive to the social media that they posted. So I love that they did that again, and had that continue over into the match. The great work by Jay Lethal. 5 straight tope suicidas he did to Hangman to the outside, which was awesome. There's a vicious deadeye that Hangman did on the apron. They did some good shots in there. Eventually, though, Hangman is going to go for the crossface. Lethal reverses, gets a roll-up. He just escapes, but that's when Hangman goes for the eyes. And then knocks him down with a buckshot lariat to pin Jay Lethal. Hangman still a man possessed, wanting to get his hands on Swerve, and then just also the people that wronged him. So he's he's an angry cowboy.
He's just beating up everyone because he can't beat up Swerve. It's the amazing thing, best thing ever.
Yeah, he got cost the Continental Crown, so he's like, I'm going after y'all now.
Yeah, I'm going to beat up everybody, and I love it.
Yeah. We then actually had the Bastard Pack. He proceeded to bring up the fact that, you know, he's still the number one contender for the International Championship or American Championship. But he's being denied his Wembley moment because Will Ospreay going behind his back, getting into TK's office to sign himself for that championship match. So he hates that he's being overlooked, manipulated, treated like a bum. That was his ticket for his Wembley moment, but he sanctioned his own revenge. He will face whoever leaves Wembley as international champion 2 weeks later out at in Chicago, the same arena he beat Kenny Omega 5 years ago. I was in that building. Love that match. It'll be either MJF or Will Ospreay. So I love this, first of all, because I was also questioning. I'm like, wait a minute. Like this was supposed to be Pac spot, and then it became Will Ospreay spot. So I was left very confused. So I do think it sucks that Pac doesn't get his Wembley moment. I thought that would have been cool for him to do it with him being from the UK. But
and he regardless, can't, you know, and now he can't get it for at least 2 years.
I know. Yeah. Like I said, it's something I was just I felt bad about. But
they have a gauntlet match. They do.
He can still be in that match for sure.
Yes. But he has to be on the show. He has to be on the show.
He has to be there. Even if he's not wrestling, let him be in a fucking suite at Wembley watching MJF and Will Ospreay go at it. Like, he needs to be there because obviously it fits with him facing the winner at All Out. I love the fact that he built up. He mentioned that he beat Kenny Omega in that same building at the Now Arena. Because, I mean, dude, that match was with... There was a whole bunch of shit with Pac at that point with him. Like, he hadn't lost in the UK in, like, years when he was being brought into AEW. That was a whole weird point in that time period. So, like, it's a weird time back then. But, so I'm happy that we at least addressed the Pac elephant in the room when it came to Wembley and everything like that. So just let him be there and do something at Wembley and we're all good.
Yeah, I am definitely was looking. So I'm just saying, in a world where MJF is probably wrestling his best ever right now and Will Ospreay is on another level, for lack of a better term. I know that's his catchphrase, but you know, for lack of a better term, Will Ospreay is on another level. That being said, we either get Pac versus Will Ospreay or Pac versus MJF.
Mm-hmm.
Can you lose in that case? Is there any way to lose? Like,
It's pretty tough, I would say.
Yeah, so no, that is gonna be awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope everybody else is. So that should, you know, that should be going, I think that'll be going great. So let's go.
Let's go. So we then moved on to Darby Allin coming out to the ring until Jack Perry running up the ramp towards Darby Allin to knee him in the face. He's coming at you. Like, he didn't jump you from behind. He ran at him. You didn't see that. You couldn't see that. How did you not see that?
I don't know how you don't see that.
Whatever. I digress. They start fighting to the back, brawling back backstage. Darby throws him against some backstage equipment. Jack Perry throws a trash can at him. I screamed at the screen that we needed to see Darby Allin force feed this kid tacos. There were no tacos and catering, at least from my knowledge. That needs to be happening at this point. At some point, I will find a way to make it happen. I will throw Taco Bell coupons at this man.
Taco Bell.
But
you gotta bring a Taco Bell sign and do a Taco Bell chant at All Out, because I have a feeling he's gonna be on the show.
No. See, what happens is when his match happens, I just go take a piss. That's what happens, honestly.
Yes.
But Jack Perry eventually lowers a garage door onto Darby's chest, putting him underneath it, and then takes a road case and is trying to ram it into Darby's head. Security then comes back and holds him back. He then elbows the security in the head. I didn't realize Jack Perry was not only trash, but he was also a racist, because he elbowed two black security guards. So, you know, that's fine.
The thoughts expressed by Austin Sumowitz are his own thoughts, and do not represent the thoughts of All Things Elite or the Social Suplex. I'm just saying, I'm just gonna throw that a disclaimer out there.
I'm just saying, dude.
Right.
What was the ethnicity of the two security guards that ran first up?
Hey, I said what I said. My point has been spoken. These are Austin's thoughts and Austin's thoughts alone.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Thank you.
Okay, so eventually all led down to Jack Perry saying he wanted to beat Darby at his own game. He wants to face him in a coffin match at Wembley Stadium. So it'll be Jack Perry versus Darby Allin for the TNT Championship in a coffin match. Great. So not only is he going to win, he's going to win in Darby's match, which again continues to infuriate me, which is why I have to continue to make jokes for the time being to make myself happy, because when it happens at London, I'm going to be irate. I'm going to have to see this jackass showing up in Chicago with that belt that he's done nothing with. So, you know, again, I'll make racist jokes at this point. It's all I got. I got racist jokes and Taco Bell jokes. It's all I got.
As I say, he still defended it more than Roman Reigns doing his run.
I'm not talking about Roman Reigns.
It was just a joke because, you know,
Yeah. Someone
was like, hey, it was funny. This is a WWE thing, just a small little thing. It was funny. I was like, so Roman cheats for 4 years to keep the title, and then he comes back after losing the title, and all of a sudden he's good. And he's like, he took a break. I was like, he took longer breaks during his title reign. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm like, he like literally went away with the title longer than he was just away. And it's like, everything's forgiven. That was not
He is babyface by comparison.
Yes.
God damn it, people not like Solo Sikoa.
No, it was just funny, because what was actually hilarious, it's just that's wrestling. I was not even taking a shot at WWE. That's wrestling. It's like Swerve
broke
into a man's house in, I think it was November?
Yes.
Like, it hadn't even been a year. This man has not said I'm sorry or done anything.
Man did heel shit on this show when people were still cheering him.
And it's like, this is wrestling. Wrestling, it makes no sense, but it's the most beautiful thing in the world to me.
It is. So, Darby Allin versus Jack Perry in a coffin match at London will be a fucking bloodbath. I'm excited to see what happens. I'm not excited for the outcome because I know what it's going to be. So we'll move on very quickly from that to the glamour, Mariah May.
Dude, promo of a lifetime here.
Dude, she shuts down the fact that it first is shot in black and white, and she's like, we're done with that shit. So many people on the show said shit. So many people on the show said shit. And they kept blanking it out with the same crowd, like censor they do. It's so obvious. At that point, I'd rather you just do the typical censor beep. Because the crowd one sounds so bad. You know what I mean? Just have a normal censor beep, you know?
Yes.
It sounds better. It sounds better.
Because you know what? Let's just say you're not used to it. It sounds like their audio's breaking.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, very nitpicky, but regardless, Mariah May talks about how this year it's all been about Mariah, and Tony's greatest mistake was being alive the same time as me. Because you wanted to be a star. Now it's time for this star to burn out. So good. And they immediately follow this up with Mina Shirakawa making an appearance, saying she has not heard from Mariah May or Toni Storm. She still loves them both. And she's just basically like, I hope everyone has fun, but nobody gets hurt. She's very concerned for them.
I don't feel like that was genuine at all. So.
I don't think so either. I think Mina is more so just like, you know.
Whatever, I'm going to fight whoever wins. I don't care. Well,
yeah, really, you know.
Yeah, no.
They're psychos. She knows what she's dealing with.
I'm going to say this as neutral as I can.
Yes.
Because this is not a horny show. We can be horny at times, but this is not a horny show. I like when Mina Shirakawa is on my TV.
I 1,000% agree.
I'm just going to say that. Leave it at that. She's very entertaining. Great wrestler. Just be on my TV more.
Like I said, dude, you got Mariah May, Toni Storm, and Mina Shirakawa. There's a reason why this has been one of my favorite feuds and segments for AEW right now. This is the reason why this storyline has been all I care about.
Yes.
There's a very, very good reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's all I'll say, too. We then had a three-way for the number one spot in the Casino Gauntlet match at All in London. Now, you're going to have to explain this to me because I'm confused because it's a Casino Gauntlet match, right?
Correct.
And they haven't really given the full rules for the Casino Gauntlet.
There actually is. There is their signature match. Basically, okay. It's kind of like Royal Rumble rules. New person comes in every 2 minutes, right? First pinfall wins. That's the whole thing. Orange Cassidy won this match. He comes out first.
Cassidy, yes.
So let's say he comes out first, and the first person that comes out is the Butcher. I'm just going to use that as an example. The Butcher rolls in the ring. Orange Cassidy catches him with an orange punch. 1, 2, 3. Match is over. The gauntlet is over. So you want to be first.
In storyline, yes. However.
You want to be first.
However, listen. I get the storyline reason for it. However. At the same time, if you're going to be in the match, you're going to be in the match, you know,
And that's the whole thing. No, they've actually been consistent about this. The last time they did a gauntlet, there was a whole feud based on Roddy Strong was supposed to be the next person in the gauntlet and it ended.
I'm just saying.
They explained it with the last one. They even made the rules. They made it more sense because the whole thing was Roddy Strong because he was pissed that the person got pinned before he could get out in the ring because he was like 11 or something. He was like a low number. So you really don't want to be a low number in this gauntlet.
Fair enough. Like I said, I am of the mindset that, like I said, Rumble rules where everyone gets in.
Yeah,
and
no.
You win when getting pinfall.
Yeah, yeah. The reason this is unique to AEW, and AEW is the only one that does it like this, you can literally not, you could be three and not get in and not have a chance to win. I think it's perfect because let's say you have the gauntlet match in the middle of the show and there was a segment before it that went long. You literally can end this match anytime you want to. So you can let it go 20 minutes, you can let it go 30 minutes, or you can end it in 2. It's kind of cool.
It's a nice idea, I will say. I'm just...
And it's like, in wrestling...
I can't wrap my head around it.
In wrestling, when everything is compared to what the flagship does, the leader in wrestling does. The leader in wrestling doesn't do anything like this.
No, and it's not even like that, not necessarily, because no, I'm thinking about it in the mindset of why would you want just one opponent to sink in on when you could just basically, when a whole fight is breaking out in the ring, you sneak a roll up without anybody seeing it, and then you get the win, and you're the most healthy being the later in the match.
But, I mean, because you might not get in the match in time to win. That's the whole thing. That's the whole reason you fought to be first, is because, hey, Roderick Strong was very much like a victim of it last time, and they're going to, if they do it right, there's going to be another person that's a victim of it this time.
Fair enough. That's all I wanted to say. I was just I was very much confused. So either way, this match, fire. This match was really good. I mean, we already know how good chemistry Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly have with each other. Orange Cassidy's still a beast in this match. They were flying all over the place. I loved how Briscoe got involved as well when Taven and Bennett got involved at ringside. Then Tomohiro Ishii came out as well. To just chase them off. Great stuff. And then Roddy nearly got hit with the beat. He nearly got a beat with the beach break, but eventually Orange Cassidy gets out and PKs Roderick Strong. Kyle and Roddy are then teaming up a little bit and doing some work, but then they start elbowing each other. Roderick is looking like he's got him, but then Orange Cassidy gets a crucifix pin on Kyle O'Reilly, and he pins his conglomeration teammate, and he gets the victory and huge win for Orange Cassidy. Kyle O'Reilly is incredibly frustrated, incredibly beside himself with that. And Roderick Strong obviously gets chipped out of this again. So big win for Orange Cassidy. He will be having the number one spot in the Casino Gauntlet match at All In London.
Yes. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I mean, honestly, you need a banger match in the middle of AEW, right? And my personal feelings aside, you put any of these three guys in the match. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not a big Kyle O'Reilly fan. Doesn't really do a lot for me in a singles match. In a tag team match, he's fucking amazing. Singles match, he doesn't really do a lot for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you want a universally loved banger match? You cannot miss with Orange Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong. I was like, when I was like looking forward to the match, I was like, it's going to be a banger. And it was like, mm-hmm. why? I'm like, when's the last time either one of these three haven't had a banger? Like, dude, Roderick Strong has probably been the most consistent wrestler in AEW over the last 2 years.
I think it's pretty fair.
Yeah, like international championship, any spot that he's in. You need someone to win Orange Cassidy's run, Roderick Strong. Give it up to Will Ospreay, Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong is your utility guy, your glue guy. He is the guy that can come off the bench or he can start in a pinch. He is whatever you need him to be when you need him to be it. And I honestly feel the same way about Orange Cassidy and Kyle O'Reilly, because Orange Cassidy is like, everybody talks about homegrown talent in AEW. It's him. It's him. From the moment he showed up, and I know the fuck he was, to him being one of the biggest stars in the company, they go to Arlington today. He's in the picture of the promotional in Arlington. Like, Orange Cassidy, probably the biggest star. If you're like, oh, who's Mr. AEW? It's probably Darby Allin, John Moxley, or Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty damn close.
Like, which one of those three could have the banner more than those three? It just, you can't. So, dude, he's been in
fly the AW flag the most.
Yes, he's been in pretty much every type of match you can have, done feuded with everyone. So, these three guys, I just like, dude, I just wanted to give, like I know Orange Cassidy, but I really wanted to give Roddy Strong and Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle O'Reilly, someone that I hate on quite often. I am going to openly admit that. Give them their flowers, because, dude, they are so fucking consistent. When they're on, it's always good. And the conglomeration is literally a group of those guys. Tomohiro Ishii, Orange Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, and Mark Briscoe. Four guys you could put on at literally any part of the show, and it'd be entertaining.
Consistency, man. They kill it.
Yes,
they kill
they're
it.
The consistency. Yeah.
Yeah. We then had a face-to-face between the Continental Champion, the Rainmaker Kazuchika Okada, and Claudio Castagnoli. And he talked about how Claudio mentioned how that championship means a lot to him because he felt like it should be his title. He was bothered when he didn't win in the tournament. So at the first Dynamite in Europe, he's going to make his title shot count. And Okada makes fun of him, continues to do his silly shit, even does the John Cena fine speech, which I loved. He then proceeds to say, I'm a four-time G1 winner, and you're going to respect me when I beat you on Dynamite next week. Good luck, bitch. And Claudio starts tying up, heating up a little bit more in his promo with how he wants the true Okada next week, not the bootleg version. And he's going to bring his best in Wales next week, and you're going to have 99 problems, Okada, and this bitch ain't one.
Dude. This is like one of the most handsome standouts ever in wrestling history. Just a bunch of handsome right there.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to this fight. These two also need to be on All In. And what I learned to do when it comes to AEW is not jump to conclusions. Right now, Okada or this match is happening in Cardiff next week.
Which in Wales.
Yes. Well, you need matches for Cardiff. You need excitement for that show. You're selling tickets to that show. That does not mean these two men aren't going to be on All In.
Correct.
So let's just be patient. Let it play out. Let it play out.
Yeah. So I'm excited for the match, too. This promo battle was okay, but I'm very, very excited for this match. I think they're going to kill it. We then had the patriarchy interviewed, basically, how Christian said he called that match right down the middle. They couldn't answer the 10 count. The Trios titles are going to be his vehicle back to the World Championship. And on Rampage, Nick Wayne's going to have a match with Kip Sabian. He's not going to be in Virginia, though. So they tease that match for Rampage. And then we move over to an in-ring interview with Hook. Shout out to Hook's t-shirt, by the way. His new t-shirt that just dropped, the Spotlight shirt. Fire.
Dude, it was one of those. His shirt so fire. His shirt was like, I was like, I felt bad that I'm under restriction. His shirt and Darby's jacket have
oh,
me.
Oh, I got Darby's jacket immediately.
They both have me questioning my self-made excursion from buying shirts. I told myself I couldn't buy a shirt until I was like the Wembley exclusive shirts.
Yep.
Yeah. So I've been on punishment. So, it's like the Darby shirt. If Wembley happens in the day after and I have the money, I'm definitely going to buy it then.
The hoodie is so fucking fire. It's so good.
I don't know if y'all understand me. I have this obsession with the color pink. So Bret Hart made me a fan of pink a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Darby's been wearing that pink furry hoodie all month long. I'm glad they finally put this out. It looks so cool. And kind of has an old English D in the logo, too. So
yes.
Maybe a little bit of Detroit in that logo, too, which I think is awesome. But we then had Darby in the ring, and this was after he had that fireball that was thrown at him, which caused him to be off TV for a little bit. And he said, basically, he can't see out of this eye. But Chris, you see what you did? On the barrel of the camera. And he goes, you see the problem for you, though? Because I can see just fine with my other eye. And I want my FTW championship back. I want to fight you for my title right here, right now. Taz was getting fucking gassed up when Hook was saying this, which I thought was a nice little touch. Hook then has Chris Jericho come out. And he says, you still want to challenge me, but you're not getting one. You're not worth my time to fight you tonight. But what is worth my time is Wembley Stadium. So he'll give you a shot at All In London, but some caveats. It's your last FTW championship title shot. When I beat you, you're done. You walk away from me and you're out of the Jericho Vortex forever. And next week you have to face the Redwood Big Whip Bill. And Big Bill goes, Hook, I'm going to beat you down and shove you straight up Taz's ass. And then fucking goddamn bit Brian Keith straight up his ass. I'm just like, okay, phrasing. Hook accepts the challenge. He says he's looking forward to it. He's excited to drop big bitch on his big ass head. And he's going to be looking forward to tearing Chris Jericho limb from limb. And after Wembley, you will never, ever be the same again. Nice touch. Steadily, Hook is getting better with his promos.
They're heating him up. Like, yes. At one time, I felt like Hook was the hottest person in wrestling. And I feel like they're getting that back. They're getting it back.
Because he definitely fell off a little bit with them not using him for quite some time. But I'm hyped about this. I think it's going to be huge. Hook's going to get a great ovation. And I just love that we're using him some more, too, because I think Hook's got so much promise. And I think him getting this win, getting his FTW championship back, getting out of this damn feud and doing some other stuff is going to be huge for him. So I hope we continue to see Hook do some awesome things, because I think he's got so much upside, I feel like.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah. We then had a World Tag Team Championship match between the Young Bucks and the Acclaimed. The Acclaimed jumped the Bucks, basically, as they were making their entrance. And this match moved real quickly, but as it happened, though, Daddy Ass was going to hit Nick with a steel chair, but Crooked Rick Knox, you know, being on their payroll, you know, whenever that bald fuck is in the ring, you know, he's not going to call shit other than throwing out Daddy Ass, you know? Oh, so you decide to actually do your job. Because I'm pretty sure when Rick Knox gets in the ring, you can basically expect that ref to be just non-existent. He's not going to do anything except count the three, you know? But now he wants to use some authority. Okay. I see. Are we also going to get Alex Marvez to do some stuff too? Some other guy that's on your payroll? I don't know. We'll just get all the boys together. Get all the schleps. Get all the fucking jagoffs. This match was still incredibly entertaining. These guys got to do some really cool stuff. Eventually, though, as Max Caster is trying to shove Matt away, he knocks down Rick Knox. That's what you get. Matthew then low blows Max Caster, and he's going to grab his tag title to bring it into the ring. But that's when FTR comes out, grabs the title belt, and he takes it away. But then Dax gets spat in the face by Matthew. And then he takes him down, starts beating the shit out of him. Rick Knox finally gets to his feet, and he disqualifies the claim from the match because of the FTR interference. And Daddy Ass gets in the ring, and they're separating the Acclaimed and FTR, who have had issues before. And the Young Bucks are sitting oh so smugly at the top of the ramp, still the AEW Tag Team Champions. Fun match, obviously. A rare AEW match where we get a disqualification finish So something we're not too used to with AEW Dynamites. But it makes sense for this little bit. I think it's going to be exciting because we then got the announcement that the Acclaimed and FTR will be wrestling this Saturday at Collision. Winner will get a shot at the Young Bucks at Wembley Stadium. So that's big time. And I think we're going to get a similar situation with what happened with the Trios titles. I think Young Bucks get involved, and then it's going to be a three-way between those teams because that makes the most sense to me. So three-way between the Bucks, the Acclaimed, and FTR should be a lot of fun at London. And this match was pretty fun, too. And, you know, seeing that makes me happy.
Let me tell you. This is one of those things. I do not ever speak ill of the FTR. That is against the religion of Floyd. But that being said, hey Dax, I need your ass to stay in the back, okay? It's like you were getting a winner anyway, right? So who cares if the Young Bucks win by heelish means. Who cares? That's the claims problem. Now, FTR has to dispatch of the Acclaimed, and I feel bad for the Acclaimed because they're great. They're a great tag team. They are a great tag team. Probably the best homemade team in AEW history. But then there's the best tag team ever. You know,
yes.
They're not. There's levels to this. So Saturday, they have to face the best tag team ever. So the last time, not this year, but 2022 December, Austin fucking Texas, I will never forget it, for the AEW Tag Team Champions, it was the current Tag Team Champions, the Acclaimed, versus the greatest tag team ever, FTR. And that night, the Acclaimed was better. They were better than FTR. They pinned FTR. Not a lot of teams can say they've done that. They did it. Congratulations. So we return back to Texas Saturday. It's get back season. It's revenge season. It's Avenger season. And now, FTR, the Wonder Twins, their power, with me in the first row. Their Void, the honorary member of FTR, self-proclaimed honorary member of FTR, will be there supporting my boys as they then dispatch Shadow Machine, 1, 2, 3, your winners and number one contenders, FTR, going on to Wembley to do the exact same thing they did last year, beat the Bucks. Whoa, let's do this. Three-time tag team champions, here it comes.
Here we go. Yeah, no, I am I'm hyped about that match. Like I said, I think we're going to get some shenanigans, though. I think there's a good chance the Young Bucks get involved and we get a trios match for Wembley. But that being said, get those titles back on FTR as you fucking can.
It should be FTR versus the Outrunners every week for the tag belts. We don't need any other
match.
That's
all we need.
We don't need any other match, okay?
Yeah. And we can just push the Young Bucks off TV, you know? I had, like, almost 3 weeks with no Young Bucks. 3 weeks! Do you realize how good that felt? Almost 3 weeks where they weren't on TV. Just, ugh!
See, they can't be on TV every week because they're extremely valuable people. So, there you go. But they're, again... there's one and there's 1A in greatest tag team of all time, and FTR is one, and you know the Young Bucks are 1A, so you know I'm gonna always go with one over 1A. So here we go, let's do it. Wembley one more time. Now if it ends up being a three-way match, then all that means is twice as many people get to take the Shatter Machine. So
yes,
either way I'm happy.
That's exactly what that means. And yeah, we will move on to the final part of the show. First of all, we had the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, who was ringside for the main event. And they had a giant video package showcasing Bryan Danielson's career in Ring of Honor and in AEW. Soundtracked to Good Riddance, The Time of Your Life by Green Day. Somebody who just went to go see Deadpool and Wolverine. That song was already in my head with what happened in the after credit scene for that movie. I won't spoil it if you haven't seen it. It's on the soundtrack, though, for that movie. That song was already in my head from that movie. And then I see Bryan Danielson's career with the video package that he got, which, you know, was very well done. Very, very well done. And, you know... This was something Floyd might have had the same thought as me, though. Do you remember that headline that we all love of Bryan Danielson? Was it Cody Rhodes taught me how fun lying is?
Yes.
Yeah. That's kind of what was in my head with this.
You know,
Cody Rhodes, he taught him how fun lying can be. And this is like, this just feels so cheesy that I know there's no chance in hell that Danielson's not winning that, like, that he's not winning that match. He's going to be world champion thanks to the crazy cowboy who's going to fuck over Swerve Strickland. I'm like, in my head, this is very well done. This man's lying his ass off right now.
This is what I'm going to say about Mr. Bryan Danielson in this match. So... I watched Brian Danielson in Seattle when he retired from the ring. I cried that night. I cried. Oh, yeah. I cried because he retired from the ring. That's literally all the tears he's ever going to get from me about retirement. I'm done with this. I'm done. Sorry. Hey, sorry. I cry once. That's all you get. Unless it's when Harry met Sally, you know, I cry one time. That's all you get. So I watched this, and JR was like, oh, this is amazing. There was a detachment through me. I was like, I've already cried. This guy, his career already ended. And then he came back, and it's like, that was great. But it's like, when it ends again, it's like, all this time has just been extra anyway. You know what I mean? So I love that he may or may not get to go out on his own terms if it's up to Swerve, not on his own terms. This was an incredibly produced video package. I am going by what the internet feels. For me, it was just like, eh. I'm like Nigel McGuinness, you know, the boy that cried retirement. Are you actually retiring this time? Okay.
Yeah. You whatever you say.
Whatever you say, bro. Whatever you say, bro. Uh-huh.
We then get the main event, though. Swerve Strickland, the AEW World Champion, versus Wheeler Yuta with Danielson at ringside. Really, really fun match. Yuta getting another chance to just, you know, it's been a while since we've seen Yuta be able to showcase himself on Dynamite with how good he can be. And Swerve and him showed really great work showcasing their chemistry. The amount of house calls Yuta took from Swerve was just vicious, and I loved Yuta getting hit with the kicking your fucking head in from Swerve. Just, he was healing it up. He was just, the mind games were vicious, but he starts grounding and pounding on Yuta, and the ref calls for a stoppage on the match because Yuta can't respond and defend himself. Danielson gets in the ring to stop that, and Swerve just keeps saying, screaming at Danielson, it's just an example of what I'm going to do to you. Because, Brian, you're going to bring your family, right? Because right where you sat and you saw me mutilate Yuta, same thing I'm going to do to you in front of your daughter. Force you to retire to go back to her because I'm going to cripple you. Danielson then turns his back, checking on Yuta while Swerve's up at the ramp. Swerve runs down. House kick to the side of the head. Knocks Danielson to the ground, and then the slow yes chance. Stellar. So, so good. Swerve is just the most vicious, the most methodical killer that you can get as your world champion, and I love it because the fans just, again, this man broke into a man's house, looked down at a man's child, and he's being cheered. He just kicked the fucking head of Danielson, who in storyline could have his very last match at All In London. A legendary career coming to an end. They were doing the yes chance with Swerve after Danielson got his head kicked in. Swerve's the man, dude. Swerve's the fucking man. Like, I love how great Swerve's been as world champion, dude. It's so good because he toes that line of being a great babyface, but then at the same time, this man shouldn't be cheered, but he is being cheered. Oh,
this dude's a full-on heel that just happens to get cheered.
People said that Jon Moxley was kind of a tweener because he's vicious. Nah. Jon Moxley's not nearly as, like, just diabolical as Swerve.
People like this, they like, it's not personal. It's not personal. And I've said
it is.
I've said this before on the show. Swerve, that belt means more to him than anything in the world. He left everything behind to chase that belt. You coming after that belt, whether it's at All In or on a Dynamite or on a Rampage,
it don't matter.
It's personal. He hates you for trying to take his belt from him. He understands that why you're trying to take his belt from him, but he hates you for doing it. And yes, he is going to let you know. So he mentioned his kid's name, and he's sending him home careful. I'm like, yeah, that's personal. And then And then, most importantly, Bryan Danielson. Have you seen the promo?
Yes.
Dude. Masterclass in promos. Masterclass. If Bryan Danielson opened up a wrestling school and someone asked me where to go, I'd say just go to him. That dude just like you can flip that switch on, that the light comes on, and then he goes into this and he feels like he could cut this promo anytime, any day, whatever. And he's like, you're not getting the underdog. You're going to get the guy that kicks people's fucking heads in. And I was just like, oh. And it's like, if you didn't sell me on the show, I'm already going to the show. You more than sold me on the show. You're like, man, I need to get closer now. The seats I got ain't good enough. That's how Bryan Danielson made me feel in that moment.
Yeah, no, it was so good, dude. I mean, like, I'm so hyped for that match. It's going to be amazing. All In is heating up. We got All In Texas too. Like I said, dude, it's just a good time right now for AEW. We went through some tough times. We're back in the shit, dude. We're back on top with some of this insane stuff we're getting for AEW right now, and I love it. I love it so much.
This is how I like talking about AEW.
Yes.
This is how I prefer to talk about AEW.
Absolutely.
This is why the show has the tagline, Proclivity of Positivity.
Absolutely.
We want to be amped. We want to be overly excited about what's going on. And we want, so when you look at listening to a show, because you can listen to any show running the show down and talking about everything that's wrong with it. But when you listen to this show, we want to focus on what we like. And it's like, sometimes it's harder than other times to be positive. Mm-hmm. Positivity is a choice. And sometimes it is harder than other times to be positive. But right now, watching AEW and talking about it being good, it's the easiest part of my day.
Easiest. But yeah, that's going to do it, though, for Dynamite, for our preview on Dynamite. We'll quickly move over, though, to our preview for this week with AEW Rampage that we have coming up. We have,
dude, Nick Wayne versus Kip Sabian. They did a build up to a match on Rampage. What?
Yes.
What? I you know what? It's so funny because I'm so used to just reading spoilers online. I am excited. Like, this match, I don't know. It might have been the shittiest match ever. I don't know. I doubt it, because Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian are really great wrestlers. But I didn't read the spoilers, because I want to experience it live tomorrow night. Because I was like, dude, I'm excited for a Rampage match. Like, that's how in the bag AEW is right now. That is how they are filling their booking right now. I'm actually excited about Rampage.
There you go. Yeah, so we got that match, Kip Sabian and Nick Wayne. Nyla Rose will be in action. Roosh and Kyle Fletcher will be in action. We're going to hear from Saraya. Top Flight will be going against M&M Collection. The Conglomeration facing the Outrunners and the Butcher. And then the one thing we have for Collision is, of course, FTR versus the Acclaimed. The winner will be facing the Young Bucks for the A's at All In. I believe that's everything that we have for Collision.
And I got a special request. If anybody listens to the show that has direct access for Tony Khan, can we get more Lance Archer? I don't know. He's one of the, I put him in that, there with Kyle O'Reilly and all that stuff. It's like he's not used enough, but every time he's on the TV, he's entertaining. So use him more. Use him. Put him in a tag team. I don't care what you do. Everybody dies, and I just want to see everybody die a little bit more because of Lance Archer. So do me a favor. Do your boy Floyd a favor. You know, give me more Lance Archer, especially in the Arlington residency. I don't feel like he should have missed the show, him being from Dallas, Texas. And it should have had a big match during the show. And I just don't, like, I mean, hopefully the Arlington residency comes back, but I'm just saying. Lance Archer, he's on your staff. Book him more.
There you go. That is what we have for going forward. And then we'll real quickly go through what we have for the All-In card as of today, August 16th, which is when we're recording this right now. The the morning of August 16th, basically. Shout out to Sydney. Happy birthday to my little sister, Sydney, by the way. Let's go real quick into the card for All In right now that we have.
Yes, the card for All In. I was just scrolling down to look at it. Right now, of course, we have the final countdown. Title versus career, Swerve Strickland versus Bryan Danielson, which I'm going to go out on a limb and say he might come out to the final countdown.
I think it might be a good chance of the case.
Yes. Then we have Toni Storm versus Mariah May. The fact that there's no stipulation on this match, it's just a title match. It's shocking. It's, you know, the whole thing is I feel like this is going to be the first of many.
I do think the whole match will be wrestled in black and white, though.
Yes, that would be awesome. Then we have the battle of the newcomer versus the AEW original, Mercedes Moné versus Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, CEO versus DMD. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be another banger. When Mercedes was coming, this was the match that I said I wanted the most. MJF versus Will Ospreay for the American title?
International, maybe not.
AEW American Championship is what the banner say. Then then my boy Austin's most anticipated match. We got the Jungle Boy, or the former Jungle Boy, the scapegoat, Jack Perry, versus Darby Allin, Mr. AEW, for the TNT Championship, and Darby Allin's very own favorite match, the casket match. Then we have the AEW London Casino Gauntlet match for a guaranteed world title shot. Is it at All Out or just anywhere? Yeah, it just looks like it's anywhere.
I feel like it's anywhere, yeah.
Yeah. And then on Zero Hour, we even already have a pre-show match. We have two women and their bald friends as Willow Nightingale and her bald friend Tomohiro Ishii versus Chris Statlander and her bald friend Stokely Hathaway. All I can say is Stokely better pray he doesn't get tagged into this match.
Yeah, you don't want that, dog. You don't want that.
You don't want that smoke. Tomohiro Ishii is the scariest 5'7 dude in history.
Yeah, I mean, just avoid that as much as humanly possible.
Yes, you will probably get dropped on your head if you mess with Tomohiro Ishii, which is awesome that he's going to be in the crowd on the show. We're probably going to get at least two more zero-hour matches. I'm imagining Anthony Ogogo might have something to do with one of those matches. And I saw a report from Brain Damager, I think that's his name, Twitter, that it's going to be 10 to 12 matches. So literally, if it's 10 to 12 matches, we are only at 7. I mean, you know you're going to get a tag team title match, so that'll be 8. So, but like, you're at least going to get 2 to 4 more matches, so I am hoping for just a loaded card as we got last year.
Yeah, as am I. I'm really hoping for that case. But yeah, that's what we got for that. I mean, there's no real other news. We're just counting down the days for AEW All In Texas because, like I said, Floyd is just – this is the one thing that he was waiting for, Texas to get a pay-per-view, and they got quite possibly the biggest show going forward.
They did. Texas, stand up, show up. If you can make it, show up. It's just that's all I can say. If you can't make it, I understand. You can order on pay-per-view, order on the show, order on pay-per-view, watch it that way. It's so funny because I've been big on, I hope AEW pay-per-views go to HBO Max. That's funny because next year, in their announcement, it said it'll be available on pay-per-view. And I'm like, I hope it's not available on pay-per-view. I hope it's only available on HBO Max. But we will see. We will see how that the deal and how it announces. But yeah, I'm just like, I just want everybody that can come to come. I know life, inflation's a thing. That's literally, I've heard that word more in the last month than I probably heard it in the previous 43 years of my life.
Right.
Inflation. So I understand if you can't make it, but There's always ways to watch the show. I always say this when people say AEW's Dynamite's ratings lower. I'll tell you, people just aren't watching it in a trackable way. And when I say that, I just know a lot of people that don't watch it in a way that can be tracked by any means. So I think it's going to still be, you know, it's going to, we're still good. It's still, everybody's still viewing. But this Arlington show, I hope it's big. I want a fan fest. I know they don't really do fan fest anymore, but I want a fan fest.
We need that.
We need an all in fan fest for the people of Texas, for all the people flying in. They, I mean, and if you're not going to do a fan fest, let WrestleCon or StarCast do their thing. You know, I don't really care which one it is. I am a StarCast guy. StarCast kind of goes with All In. So, you know, StarCast will probably be the thing if I suggested it. But, no, do something. Do something. Make this a full fan experience. Make it the AEW WrestleMania week that I'm talking about, that I've been talking about. And let's go. Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's going to do it, though, for this episode of All Things Elite, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate all of the support. If you enjoy the show, rate, review, subscribe, download us, whether you listen to us on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever the case may be. Give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. You are listening on Apple. Make sure automatic downloads are always on, so that way you don't miss a single episode. And then follow us on Twitter at @ATElitePod. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. You have a bunch of other great shows you can check out from them too, and you should check out. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. With that, I will pass it off to my man, who will be making his hey for All in London coming up very shortly. I will pass it off to him so he can take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
All right, special. I want to, as we get off the show, I want to shout out my girl Jackie. You know, she always listens to the show. One of my, you know, friends. She knows all my thoughts on wrestling all the way, but she still listens to the show. So her, J-Ro, all my people that tune in every week and listen to the show, I just wanted to give y'all a shout out and appreciate you for doing that. We count down to All In. It's the WrestleMania of AEW. It really is. It's the biggest show every year. So I'm hoping for a home run. Hope everybody's catching it on Bleacher Report or Triller TV. Triller TV is actually running a discount where you get All In and All Out for, I think it was like $84.99, so you save like $15. I wish Bleacher Report was doing the same thing, but, you know, that's how I order mine through Bleacher Report. I just want to keep all my, I try to keep all my purchases on one. That's why I stick with Bleacher Report. So make sure you watch it whatever way you can. I will be, yeah, flying out, man. Long ass flight. Looking forward to it, and get to spend time with my wife, which is gonna be amazing. So I wish you all the best. Wish you peace, love, happiness, and health. COVID's going around again. So make sure you're either getting the shots or wearing your mask, taking care of each other, because it's not about whether you're sick or you're feeling ill. It's about what you can do to other people. So make sure you're doing that. And I will leave you how I always leave you. Whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.